Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing Daredevil Season 3, Episode 1, Resurrection.
I am so excited. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
So, Jeff, Daredevil Season 2 is out. Or Season 3.
Season 2 has been out,
sorry,
man.
Sorry, jumped backwards in time. So just right off the top, spoiler alert, everybody. Well, first, let's talk, not spoiler alert, let's talk about quality.
Let's talk about quality.
I think they've done it again.
If we want to talk about quality, we talk about the Daredevil series.
Yes.
That's usually how it's been. But now I think season three is what we talk about.
Right. The thing that I was immediately taken by was the way they made me care about Matt Murdock again. I haven't seen him in a long time, especially in a Daredevil series. It's been a while since season two, and I was a little, I wasn't disinterested, but I wasn't like, I can't wait to see good old Matt Murdock. I guess I kind of was, but I wasn't emotionally there.
Yeah.
Like I was intellectually excited about the series coming back because I know it's been good in the past. But like it's been a while since I really have seen what they've done with the character and really felt Matt Murdock's pain.
It's been two and a half years since season two.
Yeah, I was immediately wrapped by the series. I was completely ensconced in Daredevil world. There's a one shot that we'll talk about after spoiler alerts, but they've employed this technique this season of flashbacks sort of in the moment where he's thinking about something.
Yeah.
And they've flashed back to previous seasons and previous moments to kind of connect them to what's going on now. And it's very, very emotionally effective. And in a way that like is setting up thematic things that Daredevil has to go through. And I'm just, man, not a whole lot happened this episode. And I am completely in. They took the time, as always, to set up the character in a way that makes me truly care. And I'm completely in for the ride on season three.
It's really nice to hear you so positive about a first episode of a series.
Hey, I've never really been negative about a first episode of Daredevil. But yes, I'm definitely more excited than I was for good old Iron Fist. But yeah, I'm so excited. What about you, man? How'd you feel quality-wise the series?
Quality-wise, it's emotionally trying, and that is amazing because, you know, in the first episode of something, you usually set up the story and kind of like you move pieces around, you intrigue people. You don't like break their hearts. You don't tear their hearts out and show it to them.
And that's something that they've always done. The first episode of Daredevil is him sitting in that the first episode of the first season is him sitting in that confession booth, and it immediately makes me love him and care about him and care about his struggle between light and darkness, his struggle between between being the man he wants to be and like accomplishing what he wants to accomplish in Hell's Kitchen. And this season has done it again. All of those same themes are there, and I care about them in a way that, you know, I probably haven't since season one. I'm so excited about
this season. Right off the bat, they're killing it again.
So if you haven't watched it yet, go watch episode one. We're about to spoil it. Spoiler alert, as of now, 3, 2, 1.
He's alive.
Spoiler, I mean,
we knew that.
At
the end of Defenders, but you know, we didn't know how, and they so gracefully showed us how.
Yeah, I gotta say, I hate to hit on. Hit
you didn't
on,
appreciate it.
Hit on a negative right away, but the thing is, when he blew up under that building. They were like hundreds and hundreds of feet under the earth. If you remember, like that long elevator, and they were like, how far does this go down? And they dropped that thing, and it never hit. And he was just like, it's really deep, you know? Like that hole was really deep. And I don't know if they ever said exactly how deep, but like they kind of acted like, oh, it exploded and he just washed sideways into this thing. And I was like, he'd have to go up a ways and then over and then drain. Like, he ended up on the surface. That would have been a long time underwater. And then the little bit they showed him underwater, he was, like, drifting downward. I was like, the physics of this are not really making sense to me. But I'm sure, like, I headcanon away that maybe he, like, flooded up first through that shaft and then sideways somehow. It was just a little, I was like, graceful, yes. It was a beautiful scene and like really well shot, and like I was impressed with the I guess the CGI or whatever they were doing for all those underwater scenes.
Yeah, great use of effects,
but just from like continuity wise, I don't know.
it's a little hard to buy into it.
Yeah, a little bit, but I actually. My thinking originally was that like Elektra was going to pull him out, but I guess they don't want you to know if Elektra's alive or not. And I think that's probably a valid thing. Cause I hope they don't reveal her. I don't know if she is alive. I don't know from comics. I don't know if from anything, but I'm assuming she is just from like the show. I don't feel like was done with her. And if she is, I kind of hope they don't bring her back this season. I hope we get like two seasons without her. He becomes who he kind of like comes into his own as Daredevil, like balances the Matt Murdock and the devil. Like he really like comes into his own and then she comes back and like, and he has to go through that trial. Like that would be more effective to me. I really like when they make a villain go away, or like not even a villain, an intriguing character like that with sort of a dark side, when they make them go away, I really like when they show up like way later.
Yeah.
And I'm sure an actress who plays Elektra probably doesn't want to hear that, but like I think just from a character perspective, that's a cool way to do it. Like let me forget about Elektra and then bring her back and be like, boom, drop that Elektra.
let Matt, not just Matt, but Matt forget about Elektra.
That's right. Let him like, oh man, can you imagine if he like got over all of this? He learned to balance himself. He gets with Karen. Like he built a whole life, and then Elektra shows back up. Like that would be intense.
I'd love to see Karen just sock Elektra in the face.
Yeah,
wouldn't do anything, but I would love to see it.
She wouldn't sock her; she'd shoot her. That's Karen.
Yeah,
that's Karen. That old gun wielding Karen.
Yep. like the Wild West out here.
Okay, so. Let's get real specific. The scene that I was talking about, the shot I was talking about that won me over this season, was Daredevil on the ground saying, "I'm blind," and it cutting to him as a child saying, "I'm blind, I'm blind.
I can't see."
Oh, yeah, I can't see. I can't see. Oh, man. Him being shocked that he can't see when obviously he hasn't seen in a long time, but the idea that his power's gone, his hearing's gone, He's lost his ability to see once again, and just connecting it back to that child. Like that was in the first couple moments of the episode, and I was just like, my heart was fully sold on this episode. I'm totally bought in that moment on.
I'm really glad that the powers like weren't immediately restored. It was kind of a slow burn to get back to. Hearing properly, and it's still not quite there at the end of the episode.
I think he's not going to be fully back for the whole season, or for a while. Like, I think that this is going to be an ongoing thing, which I think is good for him to have sort of consequences for having sacrificed his body to save the city, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was really funny and really gross, though, whenever he was like, what's this? Oh, a neti pot. And then, like, you know, tilts it and washes out his nose and is just like explosive, just all of the blood. And I'm like, well, that's why you just taste blood and ash. You're stopped up there, kiddo.
Yeah, that was pretty funny and like unexpected.
Yeah, it was real gross.
Real gross. I'm glad I'm not more susceptible to that kind of grossness, but I can imagine someone just being like, okay, done with the show. Oh, that was disgusting.
Yeah. Yep. It's like, oh, you gotta plumb the works there, guy. That's how you That's how you get all that out. And it was rough seeing that, but it was great to like the interactions between him and the nun. I'm assuming that's Sister Mary, but the nun that he's speaking with, like the whole all of it between him and her, has me completely sold as far as just wanting more character interaction. Like this entire season could just be him and her, like having a duke it out, like get him back to being okay spiritually thing, and he could never go outside, and I would watch the entire thing and be ecstatic.
Yeah, I really love the way religion functions in this show and the way they treat religious characters. They're not perfect by any means. They're not overly, I don't know, pious or righteous to the point that like it turns you off. They just do religion on this show really well. And the priest and the nun have both been really cool characters. I think it was Matthew West Fox on our show a couple weeks ago saying how he wanted the priest back, and I'm like, you got the nun instead. I mean, the priest is back obviously, but he's not been around to chat that much. But the nun is back, and it's like just that same sort of like resonating with the. And now that I'm thinking about it, I think Matthew West Fox may have said that on his own show. And I just remember hearing it. So if you want to hear what I'm talking about, see 3 episodes ago or whatever of the Superhero Ethics podcast. But yeah, I'm really glad they're back. Because that to me, I mean, that first conversation in the confessional is such a core moment for this show. It created the Daredevil character. Super powerful. And I mean, he talks about his dad would get knocked down and then he'd get up and have the devil in him.
You're never going to keep him down.
Yeah. And then the nun says in this episode, I saw your father get knocked down a bunch of times, but I never saw him stay down. And like, she's saying it as like an uplifting thing, but the way he hears that is like that. Oh, that's the devil in him, though. Like, there's all this depth to his relationship with his father as a boxer and what that meant, and like the violence that also existed in this loving man. Like, it's just good stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and it's really like you see him battling like what's okay, and I mean obviously he's always been battling what's okay, but like here again he's like, well, you know, I've taken this as far as I have, like I guess I need to take this farther, or maybe I don't need to take this farther, like how far is it okay, because Frank Castle did a thing and everybody kind of loved him and then like we had to do such things to protect the city from the hand, like they were going too far. Is it okay for me to go just a little bit farther? And she's just like, box, go box.
Yeah. She's like, I think she's encouraging in a way the darker side of him without realizing it or something. I don't know.
I think she realizes exactly what she's doing. She's like, you're a hero. Go be a hero. Just, you know, also remember that you're a good man.
Yeah. It just seems so far like she's more encouraging the well, yeah, yeah. No, I guess she's giving him the cross and trying to encourage him in both directions. And like that's the thing, she's not encouraging him to give it up. She's being this like interesting voice for him to become the man she thinks he should be, which is the hero of Hell's Kitchen, like the devil of Hell's Kitchen, really. And it's just interesting. It's interesting. I don't know. And I loved, but there's obviously some reticence in her, I think, because when the priest drops him off, she says, haven't you done enough, or something like that. And like, it's kind of like, she's like, you're out there encouraging this guy to do this. I don't know, but now she's doing the same thing.
I think really more than anything, she just wants him to find himself. And if he finds himself in being a hero, then that's where he finds himself. and she just wants that to happen.
Yeah, I definitely want more conversations between them. I know that we'll get them. But I want to hear specifically like what her perspective on all this is, because at the moment, I mean, there's a lot of warring ideas within me from things she said and things that are just my own assumptions on what a religious person on a show would say. Like, and I don't think they're going any sort of stereotypical route with them. I love how they're treating it.
Yeah. I am, man. This season, this show.
Yep, the show is great. The show
is so damn good. And we haven't even talked about like how Wilson Fisk is coming back into it.
Yeah. Was it last episode or something we talked about our rankings of our Netflix shows, because someone else sent that in and we talked about it? Yeah, it was the Iron Fist feedback episode. We talked about our rankings of what shows we liked best and what seasons we liked best. And I was, you know, I think Daredevil season one is still my favorite for a while, but I was bouncing around Punisher and Daredevil, this has reminded me how much I love Daredevil, and I'm sure season two of Punisher will do the same thing. And that's what I want out of these shows. I want, when I'm in them, to feel completely in them and realize the bigger universe exists, but I want the shows themselves to support the weight of me sitting for 13 hours and watching them. You know, I don't want to have to feel the whole time like, yeah, but Luke Cage might show up and how cool is that? And I think most of the Marvel shows do that well, and most of the Marvel movies do that well. And that's what you want, is a show or a movie that is so good on its own that it is so watchable and great, but you got this in the back of your head that at any point this is in the same universe as all this other stuff, and Thor could fly by if he wanted to, you know, and that's the fun of this connected universe. But they don't rely too heavily on that in these shows. They really make a show that's just worth watching.
Yeah, especially this one.
Yeah, absolutely. We haven't talked about Karen and Foggy at all.
Oh, we haven't talked about Karen and Foggy at all. God, that made me tear up.
Me too. They did this. They employed this flashback thing, and they showed us a scene we've never seen before, which was cool, of Karen having a conversation about, when did he tell her that he was Daredevil? Was it the end of season two?
It was toward the end of season two when he told her.
Okay. Was it like the very... I can't remember. I don't remember season two well enough. But I don't know exactly when he told her. But it seemed almost like we never got a conversation about it. I think it may have been like the last thing he did. I don't remember, though. I'm really, really fuzzy on season two. Or it could have happened in Defenders for all I know. But I think it was in Daredevil season two. And I think the reason... So they moved the character to a different place in Defenders without...
It was the season two finale is when he told her.
That's what I thought. Okay. That's what I was thinking happened, but I couldn't remember. Okay, so that's a genius way of doing it, because they did that in the season finale, and then Defenders, they didn't have time for that conversation because they're trying to deal with this bigger Defenders world. And also, they didn't want to have that very personal to Karen conversation in Defenders, because it's this big spectacle show. So they move the character on, they think he's dead, and now they allow us to see that conversation while it has even more weight, because Karen thinks he's dead, and Matt doesn't know if he'll ever see Karen again. He's ready to be dead in a way. And at the end, we haven't discussed the end, but at the end, he's really ready to be dead. I could not believe when he handed that character the pipe.
Yeah.
That was dark as shit.
And then he says, he whispers, "God forgive me."
Yeah.
It hurts so bad.
He knows what he's doing. He knows that he's trying to kill himself. He's trying to commit suicide by thug. And it's an incredibly emotional scene. I don't know.
No, it is. It's brutal. And, oh man. It's so hard to talk about, because like, I don't want to see him go down like that, you know? And it seems like that's all he wants.
Yeah.
I'm okay. I'm gonna be all right. I'm gonna be okay. It's just I need a minute.
He doesn't have he doesn't have the strength to be himself again yet.
Yet.
And he's trying to find that strength within himself. He's not. At this point, he's just giving up. And then the thug has mercy on him. Like, that's...
It kind of felt more like the cops are coming, let's get out of here.
Yeah, I don't know. He had time to smash him if he wanted to. Like, he could have gotten out of there.
Just give him one good whack.
I mean, he stood over him for a good minute with that pipe.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that the thug was, and they could have continued to hit him. They like, let's leave him, man, before the cops ever were coming. And then he like called them back and handed them the pipe.
Don't go. You haven't killed me yet.
Yeah. Some darkness, man. Some real darkness. And he has a long way to go.
He's got a long way to go to come back to being a hero. I mean, he did. That's the thing, though. He, in that moment, he saved the lady and her dad, and he waited until they were safe and getting away. And then once he ensured that they were safe and had gotten away, he was like, "Okay, now beat me to death."
Yeah, yeah. He still wanted to die. He wanted to die being Daredevil, like doing the thing that he thinks he's like. Playing this sort of like mortal bet with God that what he's doing as Daredevil is the right thing.
Yeah. Like, if you let me live through all of it, then obviously this is the right thing to do.
Well, I would say no. He's like ready to die, and he's hoping that the actions he's taken as Daredevil will like get him into heaven. I would say, like, in that moment, he's like, I'm betting that if I go out and do this one last good thing, and it'll like tip the scales and the balance, so that I can die having fulfilled my purpose. Kind of, I don't know that, like, and I don't just mean in the scene. I mean, like, all of his life as Daredevil, he is kind of making this bet that the good he does as Daredevil outweighs the darkness that comes out of him. Cause I think he genuinely cares about his immortal soul and forgiveness. He says it, God, forgive me. It's just this trippy thing, man. I really like where the show's going. I like how deep it's getting into that stuff. And I want to see and they have this perfect relationship between Matt Murdock and this nun, to have these conversations and really flesh out all these ideas.
Yeah.
Super excited. Foggy broke my heart, worrying about having delivered his suit to him in Defenders.
Yeah.
Really broke my heart.
God. Yeah. the way that Karen and Foggy are taking all this responsibility, you know, Foggy taking it on himself, saying, you know, I brought him the suit, so, you know, I enabled him to get back to this.
Yeah.
And I'm the one that killed him because of it. Like, and then Karen fighting, saying like, no, he's not dead. Like, he can't be dead. Like, I know that he's not dead. I have seen it on the show. They have shown me this character going through rehabilitation. But when she says that, I'm like, God, Karen, no, you gotta let him go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm having that fight.
Yeah. You know? You're like, they're so convincing. As his friends, first off, like they've made us believe them as friends so well over the seasons, and now as actors in these scenes, that we still feel their pain of his death, even though we know for a fact he's sitting there just training. And all this, he said he'd never lie to her again.
Yeah.
And I'm worried that this is all gonna feel like another lie, the fact that he was missing all this time and he wasn't actually dead.
Well, he doesn't want to have to deal with that. He wants to, you know, suicide by thug, so he won't, he can be dead.
Yeah. Well, he believes he has no one. He has no one left. I don't really fully understand that. I don't remember in Defenders where their relationship left off exactly. But he knows he has Foggy. Like, Foggy brought him the suit. And, like, he should know that Foggy would feel responsible, and I kind of feel like he's being a bit of a dick to Foggy by not letting him know that he survived.
Yeah.
I mean, if Foggy and Karen find out he died in an alley by a thug, like, that'd just be horrible for them. And I think they need to think about him. And I think he is doing kind of a bad by them by not revealing his life, his still beating heart.
Yep.
Well, man, I'm ready to watch watch episode two. How about you?
Yeah, I would only say more in this episode about this episode, or in our episode about this episode, just by fanboying out and making unintelligible phrases. So I think we should move on to the next one.
Yeah. Well, guys, it's great. If you haven't watched it, I don't know why you listened to all this, but you should go watch it. If you would like to reach out to us, hit us up at mcucast.com, at mcucast on Twitter, facebook.com/mcucast, mcucast@gmail.com, or call us at 573-CAST-MCU. If you want to support the cast, patreon.com/mcucast. This is a good time to do it, because we're going to be doing these episodes as fast as we can, but we only drop them in the regular feed once a day. But if you're a Patreon patron, you will get them as quick as possible. And I'm hoping by like middle of this week, we can finish all 13 episodes. So probably about the pace you watch them, we'll be able to post them over on the Patreon, and those patrons get them like right away. But if you want to listen on the normal feed, we'll be here once a day. So, you know, if you've been thinking about subscribing on the Patreon, it's a great time to do it during these Netflix series. All right, guys, we love you. Thank you so much.
Until next time, true believers.